God, who knows? That job is gone.
Ain't it good I can talk like that to y'all because y'all understand that kind of talk?
Sir.
Ain't it good to be with the people of God?
Amen.
Ain't it good to be singing praises and glory to God?
Right.
Ain't it good that God has saved those whom He's going to save? That doesn't mean if you're not saved, you don't think you're going to be saved. Don't go take that the wrong direction. I believe God's in the saving business. I believe God saves people every day, all through the day, and He adds to the church such as should be saved every day. That being said, glory all to Jesus Christ. Today, I'm going to be in Revelation chapter 5. Normally, I start with the bad news and go to the good news. Today, I'm just going to give you all the news. Today, I want to talk about the one, the only, Jesus Christ. It says here in Revelation chapter 5, "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And all came, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 times, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are therein, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this morning. We thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed His precious blood for those who will be saved. Oh God, we thank You, and we come to You humbly with our weaknesses and our lack, Lord, of power to come, because You are only one worthy. You are the only one able. You are the only one who can save that which is lost. And Lord, we want to bring honor to you. We want to bring glory to you. And we want to preach that thou art worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought this morning and I said to myself that God, you know, you hear that song, He's still working on me. He's still making me more and more and more like I ought to be. The thing is, in Corinthians it says, I am going to be made worthy or made able to enter into heaven one day. This body I have right now is not worthy to enter into heaven. This body right now has to be changed. This body has to be turned around. So there's coming a day when God Himself is going to change me and make me able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a day. In Philippians it says that if He has begun a good work in me, He's going to finish that good work in me. There's going to be a day, as feeble as I may be right now and as weak and all as I am right now, and I try hard and I try hard and I still fail, but there's going to be a day when all my failures and all my weaknesses and all my inabilities will be wiped to the side and I will be made able to enter into heaven. And when I say made able, that means not of anything I have done. It means all of what God has done and is doing. And we're going to get back to the text here because I don't want to get too far sideways. And it says, I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written. Now, I got a book here that's written. I do. I want you all to see this is a book. This book was written by men under the direct supervision of the Holy Spirit of God. But I want you to look at the book that I'm talking about right now. There was no man could have wrote that book because there was no man able to open that book. This book was written exactly and expressly by God Himself. Whether it's the title deed of the earth, whether it's the title deed of all of God's thoughts and what He's going to do or as going to make purposed, I do not know. But I do know that there's not one single man who is worthy to open it, this particular book. There's not one single man worthy to read this particular book, nor even to look on this book. Now, I know that John saw the book, but that doesn't mean he was able to go up there and lay his eyes on what's actually written on the book and see what the context of the book was. It says, in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, God the Father, sitting on the throne, has a book that was written by God the Father. And it says, and the book was written inside and outside and sealed with seven seals. And I know as we go through the book of Revelation, if you study it out, there's seven seals that get opened. And during those seven seals, there are some trumpets and vile judgments and different judgments that go on. And I may touch on them this morning. Who knows? The Lord willing, He'll just run us all over this book. And it says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? In other words, there's an angel walking around in heaven amongst all the men who have been redeemed, all the men who are in heaven, all the men who are standing around the throne. And this angel says, who is worthy to open the book? And no man in heaven. Now you would say, those are blood-bought, born-again, good old boys, right? No man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to look, able to open the book, neither to look thereon. There was not a single human person who had been created by God who was able to touch the holiness of what's in this book that's at the right hand of God, on the throne of God. No man was found able. And if we continue, we're going to find out there are people who were born again, redeemed again of God, who are made to live in heaven. And if we read two chapters over, we're going to find out about a people called the earth dwellers. Earth dwellers are people who love this earth, love the things of this earth, love everything about this earth. They have no mindset for heavenly things, godly things, or eternal things. And so when we see in the next couple of chapters, if we get there, the fact that these earth dwellers, when they see that it's God that judges them, when they see that it's God that brings down wrath on them, when they see that God is doing things to them, they will not repent. They will not turn from their idols and their false gods and their worship of other things. And they're called earth dwellers for a reason. They love this earth and the sins of it. There's a difference. There's two peoples here. There's those who have been redeemed, and then there are the earth people. And no man in heaven nor in earth or under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. I wept much. This is John speaking. He says, I wept much, because here he is in heaven. He's looking around at all the people in heaven, and not one single man is worthy. That would be heartbreaking. You'd think that there'd be at least somebody. But no man is worthy to attain unto the high standard that you talked about of Jesus Christ. Above the angels, made lower than the angels, to redeem His people. And I wept much. No man was found to open the read the book, neither to look thereon. They weren't even able to look at it, much less to open it or to touch it or even to read it. They weren't even able to look upon it. Boy, what a low bunch we are. It says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There is one worthy. There is one able. There is one, the very Son of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David. In other words, the one they talked about in Abraham's seed, who would put on flesh and blood, who would become a human man without a man father. Thank you very much. God the Father was his father. And so this God-man, all God, all man, everything in one, God-man, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, was able, more than able. It says here, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. Past tense. It had been slain, having the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set forth into all the earth. Now, if y'all have missed that sermon, Brother Joey spake about these seven spirits and these seven things a few months back. So if you missed that sermon, go online and get it and listen to it. It was very, very good. It says here that this one, behold, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having the seven horns and the seven eyes and the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. In other words, God has made known unto mankind all about Him. Same as in Romans chapter 1 and 2. When people deny God, deny the power of God, deny the strength of God, they just deny the fact that I don't want to believe Him because I just don't want Him. That's what they say. Those are the earth people. The ones who will not come to God, who will never come to God, not because they have anything in them, but because God has not drawn them out of darkness. It says here, and I'm going to try to state my stuff here, and He came and took the book. He didn't have to back up to get that book. He didn't have to crawl up there to get that book. He didn't have to shake in his boots wondering if he touched that book it was going to destroy him. He walked up there and He took the book. It was His book to take. It was His book. And He walked up and it came and He took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne. Jesus Christ, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, walked up to God the Father and says, I'll take the book. And He's the one that's going to open this book. And he's the one that's going to break the seals of this book. And he's the one that's going to pour out judgment upon this earth out of that book. He's the one who can do that because he's the one that bought this earth with his blood. He's the one that paid for this stuff. He's the one that made it by the speaking of his word. He's the one who is worthy to do what he wants to with what he has. All of this is his to do with. There's none of this off in some corner somewhere that God didn't make up. God created all things that consist. Everything that consists. He is the head of it. He is over it. He is the speaker of it existing. And he took the book. I'm about to get lost here. And he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had then taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I think I mentioned something about our prayers before God the other night. God hears our prayers. God hangs on to our prayers. These prayers are contained right there by the throne of God. They are the odors, the sweet incense that God, our worship, our praise, our songs go up to Him. The prayers that go up before Him, the prayers of the saints. He says, and the four elders and them had their harps and their golden vials full of odors. In other words, there's a group of people up there that have a bunch of vials. This is just my mindset. Now y'all might see it different. But they're holding all the prayers of every saint that ever prayed. And they're holding them right there in the presence of God. Right smack in the throne room. They're not in some back storage space. My prayer this morning is right there in the face of God right now. Your prayer right now is standing right there in front of God by Christ. You're right. And so with everything I have prayed for that was in context with what God would have me to pray for is all right there at the throne room. Wow. And they sung a new song. And when they sing this song, it says, Thou art worthy to take the book. Thou art worthy, Jesus Christ. Thou art worthy, Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thou art worthy, Thou Son of God, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain. No one else was slain for my soul. No one else was slain for your soul. Only the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, He died for the souls of His people. It says here, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou was slain. That's the difference in Him being able to reach up and take this book out of God's hand, because He paid the full price to God the Father. It wasn't to the devil. The devil had no power that he had to bow down to. He paid the debt, my sin debt. He paid your sin debt. He died on that cross to please the Father. Because someone holy, someone righteous, someone worthy had to do it. And it sure wasn't me. And it wasn't no man. It was a special man. All man, all God, Son of God in the flesh. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And He says, and they opened the seal thereof, for Thou was slain and has redeemed us. Now you say, how can He say He redeemed us? And some people might say, that means everybody. No, guess where we're at? We're at the throne room of God in heaven. Everybody ain't going to be there. So when He says, and redeemed us, He's talking about redeeming every blood-bought, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of God through faith and not of works. That's right. Amen. It says here that He redeemed us to God by the blood. This is a bloody religion. I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it. I love to say it. If you did not have Jesus Christ shed His blood for your sins, you are totally in trouble. You are totally without hope. If Jesus Christ did not shed His blood for your sins, you'll be an earth dweller. No doubt about it. You'll love this earth. You'll love your pride. You'll love your fleshly desires. You'll love those things. And you'll stay that way because God will not draw you out of darkness. It says here that I was redeemed. He had redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred. Not to every person that ever walked, but out of. Out of means if I have a bottle of fruit over here and I reach in and grab some, I have took some out of. If I have some pears over here and I reach in and I pull some out, I've taken some out of. I didn't save the whole bucket, I took some out of. The word out of is a very specific and a very word that you need to pay attention to. It doesn't mean to everyone, period. It means He reached into the kindred out of and He took some. What it says. I didn't write it. And then He says, and tongue out of, and people out of, and nations out of. That out of goes for all four of those things. Out of every kindred He got some of what He wanted. Out of every tongue He took what He wanted. Out of every people He took what He wanted. Out of every nation He took what He wanted. And what He didn't want He left alone. And He had the power to take them, and He had the power to leave them. And has made us. Made us. Catch that, guys. Made us. I didn't become this. I didn't decide this. I didn't change my attitude. He made me. And if you're a believer, He made you. And made us unto our God. Kings. And priest, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, right now, we're at the throne room of God. The rapture just took place. We're talking about the things that we're seeing going on. And all of a sudden, we're in heaven, and we're going to be made kings and priests to come back for a 1,000-year millennial reign and reign with Jesus Christ on the throne. We will be like Him. And it says, and I beheld. And I beheld. Have you ever just sat down and looked and thought about beholding? I beheld and I heard. We talked this morning about people hearing the Word. How do we let things slip? Was brought up this morning in Sunday school. I beheld and heard the voice of many angels. Now, they're not singing right there. They're beholding and herding. Round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. I know people all the time talk about angels singing. I haven't found that yet, and I'm not going to try to preach that this morning. I'll even go so far as to say this. I have never found a single verse. I know people have been dying around about us. My wife's best friend's mother died. Several people have died around here. Several people we know have died. And if you'll listen to some people, supposedly church-going people who supposedly read their Bible, and out of kindness or niceness or whatever, I ain't figured it out yet, say, heaven has now got a new angel. Well, I want you to understand that there's only so many angels. They were all created on Angel Creation Day. That's right, on Angel Creation Day, He made so many angels. Some of them, a third of them, fail. There won't be no more of them. There's a third of them over here. There's two-thirds over here, and there will never be one more angel than there ever was from day one. When I die, believe it or not, I won't have angel wings, and I won't be an angel. I'm not much of an angel now. I mean, you talk to some of my friends, he ain't no angel. But the thing is, I won't become an angel. I'll be like my Savior. Angels will be angels. And people will be people. Now, we'll do things like the angels when we get to heaven, but we will not be or become an angel. Now, that was just a side note for you. That was my deep theological side note there. It says here, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." You need to get a hold of that. There's none else worthy. "That was slain to receive power. He took my shame. He took my iniquity. He took all my burden. He took all my sin. He is the one that did that. No other man could ever stand before God in my place. Only Christ Jesus. He was worthy to receive power." He already had it, but he's worthy to get it. He already has all power. "And riches." He owns everything already. Even the cattle on a thousand hills, he owns all of those things. And if you want to really get to it, that means he owns everything. "And wisdom." Who is the smartest person that ever was? The one that already knows everything he's going to do. I have to sit around and analyze what I'm going to do. I have to sit around and say, would it be better for me to go this way or that way? God, when he spoke it, he already knew exactly what he was going to do. He already knew exactly which way he was going. He already knew exactly everything he was going to do and say and be and done. He already had it all worked out. And when I say worked out, that don't mean he didn't sit there and strategize. I don't think he did that. He just, boom, this is how it's going to be. And he never changes, as we heard this morning. When he set this thing on course, he didn't go, "Whoops, oh man, I wish I'd have saw that coming." No. He did not say, "Whoops," or "Oops," or anything like that, or "Get the white out, let's rewrite that." It was all done just according to his purpose, according to his plan, and according to the way he's going to get it done.
Yeah.
And strength. It says here, whose arm is stronger in the Bible than God? Didn't I pull you out with a strong arm? Didn't I bring you and do these things with a strong arm, with a mighty arm? Whose arm would you put on the thing? "All right, I'll wrestle you down, God." Whose arm could do that? No one. No man could ever arm wrestle with God and come out the victor. It says here, and honor. Honor. He did everything to please the Father. Every single thing he did, whatever was told him in the Scriptures from the very beginning to the day he was on that cross, even to the death of the cross, he did everything to glorify his Father, to bring honor to his Father. He never one time sinned. He never one time slipped. He never one time got out of the way. Everything he did was to please the Father. And there's not a single man in this building that could say, "That's what I've done all my life." Even the rich young ruler says, "Well, I've done that from my youth." And Jesus says, "Right. I've never honored God with everything I've done." And I don't believe there's a single man who could say that, because that's what the Scripture said. No man in heaven, no man in earth, no man beneath the earth, only Jesus. And glory and blessing. He's the glory of God. He's the expressed image of God. He's the stamped out. If you've seen God the Father, if you've seen God the Son, they look exactly just alike. If you see the Father, you have seen the Son. And if you have the Son, you have the Father. That's right, brother. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are there in them, heard I saying. In other words, this is a proclamation that happened in heaven, but everybody everywhere heard. That's a pretty good speaker. I mean, he got the megaphone going on. Only God can make something that's happening somewhere else be heard everywhere at the same time. That's past my pay grade right there. But it says here, such as are in the sea, and all them that heard I, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, God the Father, and unto the Lamb forever and ever, God the Son, forever and ever. It says here, and it was heard
everywhere. Not just in the throne room, not just right there where they were standing, but he said, heard I, and he heard it on the earth and in the sea and everywhere. They didn't just hear it in the room here. There's going to be a day when that's going to be proclaimed, and everybody out there cutting their dress, washing their cars, thinking they're being this or that or the other, are going to hear somebody from heaven saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever. And they will hear it. And they will know that judgment is come. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Man, they fell down and worshipped because he is worthy. He is able. He is the Holy Son of God. Now if you'll bear with me just a few minutes, I'm going to go to chapter 8. Just a few minutes. Chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Can you imagine total silence for 30 minutes? Most of us would go nuts for 5 minutes of not hearing anything, but for 30 minutes there's total silence in heaven. And I saw the seven angels. That means for that 30 minutes of silence, there was some preparation going on. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood before the altar, having golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Talking about angels, God hearing all of our prayers and seeing our prayers and hearing our prayers. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. Now if we're praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we're praying, come judge this sinful world. If we're praying, come do your will upon this earth. Check this out. It says, and he took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and the earth quaked. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Judgment is fixing to take place. Judgment is fixing to go on this earth. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, this fire and this hailstones mingled with blood, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. I'm going to tell you, if you think you're going to escape this judgment, if you think you're just going to run away from this thing going on, there's going to be a day when there's going to be a censer cast to this earth, and a third part of all the trees are going to burn. A third part of the earth is going to be messed up, and all the green grass is going to be. Can you imagine without the trees, without the grass? There's no food supply, there's no eating stuff, there's nothing for the wild animals, because it talks about the animals being used as judgment. If all the animals are starving, who are they going to pick up? Just a thought. The second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, and was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Now, I don't know about you, but blood is not a good habitation for fish and animals and stuff to live in. It just don't work. And it became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and have life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter or poisonous. And the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun was smitten. And a third part of the moon. And a third part of the stars. So that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise. There's a time coming when God's going to start shutting things down by thirds. And if you think, if He's doing everything by thirds, if you're the one that's here after the rapture takes place, you think you've got a good chance. Right off the bat, a third part of everybody is gone. Now, if you're hedging your bet, that ain't a good bet. One third part is gone. Boom. Just like that. And I beheld the angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe." Yes, indeed, brother. Who's that say to? To the inhabitants of the earth. You know why? Because all the redeemed, except for the few that get saved during the tribulation, are already in heaven. All the redeemed are already in the heavenly place. They're protected. They're up there away from all this going on. The only ones left on this earth are the 144,000 Jewish preachers and that few that get saved. Listen to them preach. But over that, are you hedging your bet against those one third?
So when you say that's pre-trib?
I would say it's pre-trib. I would.
I got some of these scriptures right here that says
it is. I would go with that. I won't fight you on that, brother. And it says, if you go on into chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the keys to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of the great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth have power. And it was commanded them. They didn't have their own will here. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green things, neither any trees, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. That takes you back to those 144,000 Jewish preachers. It says, only you won't touch them, but you're going to touch every other man on the earth. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torments was as the torment of a scorpion when he stingeth a man, and in those days shall men seek death. Notice it says men shall seek death. It doesn't say they get death. It says in those days man shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from this torment, this pain, this anguish that's going to be going on during this time. It's going to be so terrible, it would say, I would kill myself. And I don't know how it works. Maybe they do try to kill themselves. But God don't let them die. Only God can let a man kill himself and still not let him die. And we think, people say, well, when I see the church fly up, I'm going to change my mind. When I see things go out of here, I'm going to decide to start believing in Jesus. Have mercy on your soul if you go into that tribulation time. And in those days man shall seek to die and shall not find it, and desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts was like unto the horses prepared to battle. And on their heads was a crown like gold, and their face were the faces of men. And they had the hair of a woman, and their teeth was the teeth of a lion. So that's a pretty wicked looking dude. And we could go on with that, and on with that, and on with that. But I want to say there's one who is worthy. One who redeemed us, one who shed his precious blood for us, one who says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring, all ye the weak, all ye that need help. Come. I want you to understand that come will run out one day. Coming is today's thing. It was mentioned this morning that today, your soul may be required of you. Today, my soul may be required of me. I am glad that I was redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So if my soul is required, I can step right into eternity.
Oh, that every person here would call upon the name of the Lord. That every person here would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, call for mercy from God, and be saved.
Page 89.